Welcome everyone to Balance Your Life podcast. My name is Megan Farrell and I'm the host of this podcast and the creator of Balance by Megan. On this podcast, we talk about all things yoga, wellness, health, and spirituality with guests from around the world. So grab your crystals, grab your essential oils, and let's dive into it. Welcome back to another episode of Balance Your Life. My name is Megan Farrell. I'm the host of this show, creator of Balance by Megan, and an international yoga and meditation teacher. It is day 4,392 of the COVID lockdown. I'm kidding, like kind of, but it actually still kind of feels like that though, doesn't it? Anyways, we are currently still in COVID-19 lockdown if you are listening to this in real time. However, I am bringing you an incredible podcast episode with Camille Lemire. Camille is an astrologer and women's empowerment coach. She specializes in guiding women back to themselves and their magic so that they can create a life of their dreams. Camille drops so much value-packed information in this podcast episode. This is an episode that you are going to want to take notes on, and you're going to want to go follow Camille after this. On this episode, we talk about what astrology is and how it applies to us, how astrology and your birth chart can describe who you are on a personal level, why knowing your birth chart might be exactly the permission you need to start being yourself. We talk about new moon and full moon rituals, how we can rewire our limiting beliefs, and so much more. Camille is one of those people who is so passionate about what she does. You can hear it in her voice when she talks during this podcast episode. She does so many rituals online in her Facebook community, so you're going to want to go check that out afterwards as well. But before we dive into today's episode, let's just take a few moments to talk about clothes, specifically from Fabletics. Even before this COVID-19, I am obsessed with yoga clothes. If I can get out of wearing jeans, let's be honest, in the summertime, I do love to wear a good dress, but yoga clothes is where it's at. Fabletics makes high quality clothing at affordable prices and is co-founded by actress Kate Hudson. So you can go shop online, you can check out as a guest, but if you sign up as a VIP member like I did, you get your first two pair of leggings for $24 and then you get 50% off of the other clothing. So my first two pairs were, I have a beautiful green pair that looks like I'm part of the jungle, and then I have a pink pair that looks like there's like fireworks going off on my legs. I get so many compliments when I wear them out. Honestly, I even wear some of this clothes out like as regular clothes and people still comment on them. And they're even more shocked when I say they're from Fabletics and they're actually yoga clothes, but I'm wearing them out today for fun. So each month you will get an option to purchase a brand new outfit, or you can skip the month and just wait for their sales to come on. They have so many sales throughout the year. I have gotten three-piece outfits for as little as $15. Make sure you follow the link in the show notes to get your first two pairs of leggings for $24. And then hit me up afterwards, send me a picture, and let me know which leggings you got. This episode of the podcast is also brought to you by my YouTube channel, where I have online yoga, fitness, and meditations. So my YouTube channel is full of morning yoga, gentle yoga, yoga fitness, evening yoga. It has booty workouts on there, some core strengthening workouts on there. It also has guided meditations for loving kindness, peace, and finding calmness. This is a free resource for you, and there's no better time than right now to start your at-home yoga and fitness practice and to start a meditation practice as well. So even when this is all over, this COVID-19, I love the at-home yoga practice. You get to make it fit your schedule. You get to do it in the comfort of your home. There's no driving to a studio or gym and then chatting with a bunch of people. So, you know, an hour workout or an hour class becomes 2 hours. This is something you can do if you have 10 minutes and you want to do something, you can do it at home. If you have a longer period of time and you want to do it at home, you're at home, you can go and shower afterwards and get back to work or just, you know, chill and hang out afterwards. So make sure you follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to my YouTube channel today and then do something kind for someone else and get them to practice their own at-home yoga and fitness meditation practice by sharing my YouTube channel with them as well. Now, without further ado, please welcome Camille to the Balance Your Life podcast.
Welcome to the show, Camille. I'm so excited to have you on.
Hi, Megan. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited for this conversation. It's been a little while coming. We had to reschedule, but you're back. We're here doing this. And for me, this is such an interesting topic because it's one that I'm super into, but I don't know a lot about. So can you give our listeners a little background of who you are and what you currently do for a living?
Of course. So my name is Camille. I'm an astrologer and women's empowerment coach. My whole thing is I help women find their magic. I guide you back to yourself so that you can see the magic that you are and create the life of your dreams.
Yeah, I think that's something that so many people can relate to wanting to have in their life. What led you down this path? And we'll start with astrology first. So like, what made you so interested in learning about astrology and then sharing it with others?
You know what? I always say that astrology found me more than I found astrology. I feel like most millennials, I would see a lot of astrology posts and memes on like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I got really interested in it. So I would follow all those like Libra Twitter accounts and Libra memes, Instagram accounts, and I really got into it like that, like in a very simple way. And I was so interested in it, and I would talk about it with other people, and it would always be really, really accurate. And so I dove deeper into like rising signs and moon signs, and then I taught myself how to read a birth chart. And for years, I would just like study this thing like there was a test tomorrow. I would be like, I would come home from like my 9-to-5 job, be on the couch with my boyfriend, like chilling and relaxing, and I'd be on my computer with a notebook, like researching and taking all these notes. And so, yeah, I don't know. I just really got into it like that in a very like natural way.
That's so amazing. It's something that I'm so interested to. I love talking to people who are into astrology because they're so passionate about it. And I mean, when you do your lives on Facebook, like you can see just the passion radiating from you. And you're so like you're clearly someone who has a passion. And like you just said, you do your research, like, so you know what you're talking about. And it's the confidence that you exude is just amazing. Yeah, I want to shift that into your women's empowerment coach, because I know you've combined or kind of intertwined the two together. So you are on this path of like, this is how your astrology journey started. What mm-hmm. led you to women's empowerment coaching?
Well, I found coaching through Instagram, and I really got inspired by all these women who were empowering other women. And as an astrologer, obviously I can't do anything without looking at the stars, looking at a chart, looking at the planets. So astrology is always within me. And I found that I would see all those people talk about the 5 steps to manifest and how to do this and how to do that and how to be this. And I don't know, it just started kind of bothering me that people were doing this one size fits all coaching and not looking at the individual as someone who might not need the same thing as you do, who might not do the same things like you do. And so I really got into coaching because I wanted to coach from a perspective of someone who's looking at your chart, who knows who you are, how your energy flows, what matters to you, what you value, how you speak, how you love, what all those things are really important when you're coaching someone. So I really got into the mindset of like, okay, let me understand you so I can better coach you and so I can better help you understand yourself and see where your magic lies, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense to me. It's one of the things that I notice a lot in the coaching world and sometimes in these like online courses. And I think they're amazing. I really do think it's like the way of the future of people wanting to do online courses and getting coaching and stuff. But it's something that I see kind of a trend of too, is like, here are the steps, make it fit to you. And it's like, for me right now, what's coming up for me is like yoga, right? Like there used to be this notion of like, you make the pose fit your body, no matter like what you've got going on, like you do that pose. And we've learned, as it sounds like what you're saying with your coaching, that everybody has like a different body. Everybody has different birth charts and different moons. And you need to have the person fit the pose, if that makes sense, from a yoga perspective, right? Like you don't force somebody to go into a pose. You adjust them so that the pose feels good in their body.
Oh, yes. I love that. Yeah. I totally get your analogy with this. I think there's this rise of bringing people back to themselves, because that's the whole thing, right? We've been taught to listen to others. We've been taught a way to do things, to act, to speak. And I think this whole world with wellness, astrology, spirituality, yoga, all these things are like to bring you back to yourself and to help you listen to your intuition and be guided by your own voice. And so I think it's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Awesome. So I'm curious, and I'm going to like take you off a little bit on a tangent here. At the time of this recording, we are currently, I've lost track of time. It seems we in week 3 of this COVID lockdown. Week three, we're between week 2 and 4, let's call it. Like, we've all lost track of time. Was there anything like from an astrology viewpoint, or, you know, in the stars or in the moon, like, was there anything about this happening, or is it something to do with like, as this time was coming around, like what were moons kind of like suggesting there would be this, you know, obviously not this COVID-19, but like some sort of change coming about?
Yes, I love this. I'm so pumped to answer this. There's definitely been, honestly, most astrologers that I follow and even myself, like, we've been talking about how 2020 is gonna be crazy for a while now. Basically, 2020 started with this conjunction, meaning two planets meeting up and like being on top of each other, if you want. And so that happened on January 12th. There was Pluto and Saturn who met up and conjunct. And that is something that happens only every 35 years. So it is pretty, pretty big. But also it happened in Capricorn. And so that happens every couple of 100 years. The last time it happened, I think it was in 1771, if I'm not mistaken. So that is crazy. Wow. And not only that, but then after that, Mars got in the mix and like joined them, and then Jupiter joined them. And so those were big, 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 big transits that don't really happen that often. Yeah. So that is crazy. And let me tell you a bit about Saturn and Pluto and Capricorn. So Capricorn rules structures. It rules society. It rules the way things are done. The whole kind of like the matrix, the whole kind of structure of society is ruled by Capricorn. Time and money is also ruled by Capricorn. And Pluto is the destroyer. Pluto breaks things down so that we can rebuild them. Pluto is kind of, if you're any of you are familiar with the tarot, Pluto is kind of the tower card. It crumbles everything down. It breaks things up. It breaks things that no longer serves us so we can rebuild something that is stronger. And so that's what Pluto did in Capricorn. And then Saturn is all about boundaries. It's all about working for the long term. It's all about doing what's responsible. And so all those things happen in Capricorn. And so that, like, no one could predict coronavirus, right? We didn't predict that, but we could see that there was a huge crumbling down of the structures that we've built and the way our lives are running. This is like the new normal, right? This is our transition into a new way of doing things, into what we call the age of Aquarius, which is going to be much more environmentally friendly, much more aware of the collective and doing things for the collective instead of the individual, which is very Capricorn. So all those things happened in Capricorn to kind of break things down to move us into the next sign after, which is Aquarius, which is about collective consciousness, being eco-friendly, science, future. Those are all themes of Aquarius that we're really embracing now.
Yeah, thank you so much for breaking that down for everyone. It's something I've been saying for a while. I truly believe as a collective, people have unintentionally, and I'm like, let me underline that, bold that, unintentionally manifested this. And I say that because everyone I talk to, like going into 2020, is like, I need a break. I need to slow down. I don't know what I want to do with my life. I just need time to think about things. And then this happened. I'm like, I feel like we all just like unintentionally, like, of course, nobody wanted it to get this drastic or like, you know, like I appreciate that people have been, you know, very sick and dying. And of course, nobody wishes that. But as you and I know it for coming from a spiritual space, when you put something out to the universe, if you're not very specific about what mm-hmm. you want, it gives what we need, or like, here you go, like I'm giving you time. Sure. And uh-huh. this is what has happened. So, and it's, I love, like, I'm very pro environment, and I really think this was just Mother Nature's way of resetting herself and going like, you guys have totally like screwed me over for the last little while. I'm taking things back. And I like to think that going forward, a lot more people will be conscious of this. I mean, this has not been a 1 or 2 days that are like, you know, some people might change, some people might not. Like, we have been in lockdown for a long time. And I really hope this gives people perspective into not only how we treat our environment, but how we treat ourselves, how we treat each other, how we treat the world as a collective. And I'm excited to say that this was all, like, you guys were talking about this going into 2020. I feel like 2020 was meant to be a big year.
Yeah, I feel so too. I feel like we've all felt it before, right? Everyone was like really prepared for 2020, and we were all kind of expecting this to be a big year, maybe not in this way. But yeah, and I love that you're saying like you kind of feel like you manifested it, because everyone I talk to says that. Everyone has been like, I feel like I manifested this. I've been asking for more time. I've been asking for rest, and like I feel like all of this is me manifesting this.
Yeah.
So yeah, I totally feel this. And I love that you're saying it's like Mother Nature's way of like, I don't know if you've seen this meme of like, this is Mother Nature telling us all to go to our rooms because we've been bad.
Yes. Yeah, it's true though. And I mean, there's no denying, like, they've already said like she's starting to repair herself, right? Like, we know the canals in Venice are cleaner than they've ever been. I'm totally blanking on what you called the ozone layer over Australia and California is like repairing itself. And it's one of the most damaged parts in the world with the ozone layer, you know, yeah. Like there's less pollution. And I mean, it would be nice if this was happening and people, you know, weren't getting sick and dying, yeah. But yeah. Sometimes this is the shakeup people need. And I hope a lot of people are really taking their health more seriously as yeah. well too with this. So for somebody who's like, Camille, this sounds amazing, but like, I'm not huge into astrology. I want to know a little bit more about it. Can you maybe break down the signs a little bit more for someone who's like, this sounds cool, but this is all going over my head.
Okay, cool. Of course. So basically, astrology, what's really important to know is that your sign, the sign you associate with, when you say I'm a Libra, I'm a Leo, I'm a Scorpio, that is where the sun was when you were born. So basically, a birth chart is what I look at when I do a reading, or when I try to understand who you are, I look at your birth chart. Your birth chart is kind of like the snapshot of what the sky looks like when you were born. And so we can see that the sun was in Leo. What sign are you, Megan?
Pisces.
Oh, of course
I'm you a water are. Baby.
Oh, I love that. I love Pisces energy. So the sun was in Pisces when you were born, making you a Pisces. Making this the kind of main identity of you and the main purpose of who you are is kind of this Pisces energy. But that is just where the sun was when you were born, right? I've talked about Pluto and Saturn and all these things. So there's all these planets that were in a specific sign when you were born that rule something different. So the sun is your basic identity, but then you have the moon. So when we look at where the moon was when you were born, we can see a little bit more about how you interact with people really close to you, how you react to your emotions. What are your instincts? Who are you on a very, very deep kind of shadow side, very personal level? That is going to be the moon. And then we can look at your Mercury. That's going to tell us a bit more about how you communicate, how you think.
Oh, cool.
So all these planets, we look at all these planets to really understand what makes you you. And then we look at not only where the planets were, but how they interact with each other. So is your sun really close to your moon? Is your sun on the other side of where your moon was? All these things tells us a bit more about how that energy flows within you.
Very cool. So I'm curious, like how, if somebody finds out, you know, not just their sun sign, but everything that you've been talking about, how can they use that to benefit their life and well-being?
I find one of the main things of astrology that I love so much is that it kind of gives you permission to be who you are, which a lot of people need in the world that we've created right now. It's kind of, we're always trying to be someone else. We're trying to listen to other people. We see all these people who have what we want or who are something that we aspire to be, and we listen to them and we want to do the things that they do and we want to be like them. When really there's this very special, unique type of magic running inside of you, that once you embrace it, everything just seems to flow. Everything is easier. Everything is more aligned. Everything is more filled with love, right? Because when you accept yourself and you love yourself, it shows through everything that you do. And so it's like all these planets came together and the whole freaking universe created you in a very intentional way. And so when you understand that it's okay for you to be who you are, that it was planned, that all these big, huge, huge planets were planning for you to be in this exact way, it kind of gives you the right to love yourself and to accept yourself and to see you as the magic that you are. Sometimes we're way too close to our magic to even see that it's special, right? So like even you as a Pisces, you're very intuitive. You're very, very compassionate. You have a huge heart. You have a huge connection with emotions, with other people, with the universe also. And all these things might be so natural for you that you don't understand that some people are not like that. And so just looking at that in a way that is special kind of makes you very empowered and more confident.
Yeah, no, it's funny. When I do read things about Pisces, I'm like, wow, that is like bang on for me. I'm
really
very, so much so. Like Pisces, from what I've, like when I read about it, they're like very compassionate. And I've always said, like, I'm almost too compassionate where I can take on other people's energy and like really embody that. So like, it's good and it's not so good. And Pisces apparently is like very dramatic. I'm like 100% that's me. Mm-hmm. And a water baby. Like I'm at home when I'm by the ocean, by water in general, but like specifically by the ocean. And I've been pulling like a lot of angel cards lately and they're like, uh-huh, go to the ocean, to the ocean. I'm like, I don't live near an ocean.
Oh.
I'm like, I'm trying to get there.
Okay. But just go to bath, go in the shower, same thing.
I know. One day I will live by the ocean because it's like,
I love that,
so alive there. But yeah, Pisces, I'm like, wow, like they could not have nailed me any better than that.
Yeah, even for, honestly, even just looking at your the elements can be a very simple way of getting into astrology, right? Because there's only four elements. but they make so much sense. What I love to do is when I look at someone's chart and I see usually we're not all balanced in all four elements, right? We don't have, because your sun sign is in water, but there's so much more to your chart. And so you might be balanced in all four elements, but that rarely happens. Usually there's like one or two elements that we don't really have in our charts. And when you understand that, like, oh, you're never going to, if you don't have, like, for example, any earth in you, like any earth placements, you might not be someone who's very into routines and who can't for the life of them do like make to-do lists and get to them, because that's not how you roll. You're more intuitive than that. You don't like to plan. You don't like to follow a routine, and that is okay, right? So when you understand what kind of element you're missing, it makes so much sense.
Yeah. No, and I think what you were saying too before about giving people permission, I think it's so true, right? Like, we live in a world, not in a bad way, but where there's so much information, which is great. And it's also not great. Like I was saying before in a previous podcast, like people would talk about morning routines or self-care routines. And it would be like, for me, they'd be like, oh, you know, journaling has made such a huge difference in my life. I love journaling. And I was like, okay, like I'm going to start journaling. And I never got into it. Like, I gratitude journal, but like to sit there and do like the morning pages, three pages of like a brain dump, like I was becoming resentful of it because I was like, I hate doing this. And it was like, one day I was like, well, why am I doing this if I don't like doing this? Maybe one day I will decide it's for me. But like right now, and it was because I kept hearing it, I was like, oh, well, I better do it. I got to do it. It's working for other people.
Yeah.
And when I was like, obviously it's just like not my time to start journaling, I was like, a weight was lifted off my shoulders. And I was like, why did I do this to myself for like weeks on end?
Yes. You honestly, just saying that, you must not you probably don't have a lot of air energy in you. Just saying, I'd love to look at your chart and figure out if that's true, because usually air signs love to like write and speak and journal. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. I love to speak. Like, speaking is my jam, but like to sit there and write and journal, I'm like, I would rather just speak out loud or do like a podcast. Okay, that's why I was like, when I was first starting, I was like, do I want to do a blog or a podcast? And I was like, well, I should do a blog because, you know, everybody's doing a blog. I was like, why am I doing a blog? Like, I don't want to write.
Oh my God. I love that you're saying that. This is exactly like what I think kind of, not what's wrong with the world, and that's so dramatic, but like what's wrong with kind of this community right now, that everyone is trying to push their ways on other people and telling them, my way is really working for me, so try it, do my way because it works for me. But your way works for you because it's your way, right?
Yeah.
How about we, as leaders, we start guiding people back to themselves and make them understand what works for them. And like, how I got into this place in my life and how I got into having a very solid ritual and routine and wellness routine and spiritual routine is by listening to myself, is by giving myself permission to feel and do and say what I want. And so that's what I want to give to others. If I found my way through listening to myself, why would I teach others my way instead of teaching them how to find their way? Does that make sense?
Yes, no, absolutely. And I agree too. And I think it's, I mean, when I talk to people, I'm like, you have to find like what works for you. Like, this works for me. You can give it a try because maybe it will work for you. Mm-hmm. But like, if it doesn't, or it doesn't feel good, like don't freaking do it. And I think people are like, but you said to do it. And it's, you know, it's trying to like tell people like, you got to try some stuff, see if it works. If it doesn't, it's okay. Scrap it, move on, try something else.
Yes, definitely. That's what I love doing with my clients. I'm like, I tried so many tools, so many modalities, so many things before I found what works for me. So yes, I can give you all the tools that I tried. I can give you all the things and teach you all the things, try them out and see what works for you. But it might not be the same as what works for me, right?
Yeah. So good. Amazing. Before we kind of like shift into like your coaching, I want to talk, because I haven't had anybody on the podcast about astrology and I'm just like so excited for this.
Me too.
I want to talk a little bit about, and I don't know if you can predict all of this, but a little bit more maybe of the 2020 moons, the new moons, the full moons, maybe what we're in store for with the rest of the year.
Of course. So we're going to have a couple eclipses during this summer, during Cancer season. We're going to have an eclipse in Cancer and an eclipse in Capricorn. So that's going to be very interesting. Basically, if with every, you know how people say like, oh, it's Aries season. So what that means is when it's Aries season, it means the sun is in Aries. So throughout this period of Aries season, we're going to have a new moon in that sign, and we're going to have a full moon in the opposite sign of Aries, which is Libra. Which is the full moon that we had a couple of days ago. So that is how astrology works in all the seasons, all the time. So every season we enter in, you can expect a new moon in that sign and a full moon in the opposite sign. So we're going to enter Taurus next, right? It's going to be Taurus season. All the Taurus babies are going to have their birthdays. That means the sun is in Taurus. That means we're going to have a new moon in Taurus. And a couple weeks after, we're going to have a full moon in the opposite sign. That is Scorpio. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Awesome. Cool.
And what's really interesting also about this year is we're going to have a couple retrogrades that we don't have too often. I know a lot of people talk about Mercury retrograde all the time. So that is something that happens 3 or 4 times a year all the time. So that is standard. That is something we go through. That is not like this big deal that it's made up to be. But we have an interesting retrograde that is going to be Venus. So Venus is going to go retrograde for a couple of months, and that doesn't happen every year. So that's going to be interesting.
Oh, very cool. I feel like 2020, man, the moons are just doing their own thing. The sky's doing its own thing. Mother Nature's doing her own thing. Like,
yeah, it's a year, man. It's a freaking year.
That's amazing. I'm curious too. And I know we just said, you know, you got to find what works for you, but Do you have any sort of like rituals that have worked for you or other people when it comes to full moons or new moons that you want to share with our audience?
Of course. So basically on new moons, it's a beginning, right? Because the new moon is when the moon doesn't look like anything. We can't see the moon. It's like this empty canvas where we can really plant the seeds. So that's when we set intentions on the new moon. What do you want to see manifest into your life? Who do you want to be? What do you want to receive? What do you want to accomplish? All those things, take time to write them down during every new moon. That is the basis of like a new moon ritual, I would say. And then once you get into a bit more of the signs, or if you follow an astrologer that you love and you can really relate to, they might post more about what that full moon or new moon specifically is. So let's say we're going to have a Taurus new moon very soon. So Taurus rules Mother Earth, actually. It rules material possessions. It rules money, finances. It rules self-worth, right? Because both of those things are very intertwined. Self-worth and what you actually have are actually the same. You're only going to get what you think you can have. So self-worth, money, it rules food, it rules nature. So all those things are themes of Taurus. So when you do your new moon ritual, you can set intentions that are kind of linked to that specific energy, just to kind of harvest that energy a bit more and really align with the cosmos when you do that. So that's for the new moon. Then for a full moon is going to happen when the moon is full, obviously. So that is kind of like the finish line, the harvest, when we can really take a look at what has happened since our new moon ritual, what has worked, what has manifested, what hasn't, what we can be grateful for, and what we need to release. So a full moon is usually about those two things, about letting go and releasing, and about being grateful for the things that we do want to see more of.
Awesome. Yeah, no, and it's, as you're saying this, I'm like, this makes total sense coming from the perspective of like 30 days between, I would say 30 days between a new moon and a full moon. Not quite. 28 days. Okay. 28 days. That's a great amount of time to make things happen. And it's also a very feasible amount of time. Sometimes I feel like, you know, when a new year pops around and everybody's doing their vision boards and they're putting all their visions, I think it's great. But I also think, you know, they're like, within this year, I would like this to happen. And that can be very overwhelming. A year can feel like a very long time to make something happen. Whereas in 28 days, if you're like, new moon, here's my intention, here's what I'm hoping to come from it, you know. And I also talk so much about taking action. Like, you can't just write things down on a full new moon and like cross your fingers and hope it happens. Like, you have to put in the work in order for it to come back to you. But 28 days is such a, it's such a feasible, good amount of time to like really see what worked and what didn't work as far as what you hope to accomplish.
So I'm sorry, it said 28 days, but it's 28 days between for a full cycle. So that's not going to be between a new moon and a full moon. That's going to be between a new moon and the other new moon.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Okay.
It's kind of 2 weeks between them, but the full cycle, it's not like you start a cycle on the new moon and you end it with the full, kind of.
Okay.
But like, that moon is still, after the full moon, then it still goes back to like decreasing to come back into a new moon. So the full moon is not actually the end of that cycle. The end of that cycle is going to be until the other new moon.
If that okay. Was. Like, so the full moon would kind of be the peak and then it goes back exactly, down again?
Exactly. Oh. Where you can adjust and see like, okay, that works. That doesn't work. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be like this anymore. I'm releasing. A lot of people do a burning ritual during full moon. So if you can do it in a very safe way, you can write down things that you want to let go of and then burn them.
Awesome.
So that could be interesting. It's kind of like you're releasing it to the universe and you're really letting go of it by burning it.
So cool. And just if anyone wants to know, I follow you when the new moon and the full moon pops up. I'm like, ooh, what's going on today? What's supposed to happen today? And then I have a selfish question because I always feel, I'm like, is it just me? Am I not reading this right? So on a calendar, when it says I'm throwing out a date here, it's not accurate. Yeah. April 8th was a new moon.
Yeah.
And it says that on your calendar. And then I always see people like the day before posting, the day of, and the day after. And I'm like, so that April 8th, that would be the day. Or would it be like the day after? Does that make sense? Like, it would be April 8th that's rising, April 9th is like when it peaks. Does that make sense?
That I totally get your question.
Okay.
Well, I hope, let me know if I'm answering it. So basically a full moon is going to happen. Like, obviously you can look at the sky and see that the moon is pretty full, but the exact moment that the moon is full is going to be where it's exactly opposite the sun. So let's say the sun is at 18 degrees. So basically that was our full moon a couple of days ago. The sun was exactly at 18 degrees and 44 minutes in Aries. And so the full moon happened only when the moon was exactly at 18 degrees and 44 minutes in Libra on the other side, the opposite side. Does that make sense?
Okay. So it's not like at 12 o'clock midnight, it's the full moon is, oh, okay.
Exactly. So like sometimes the full moon actually happens in the middle of the day, right? For us, it might be the middle of the day. For the other side of the world, they can see the moon and like it's dark out. But sometimes the full moon happens at 5 a.m. Sometimes it happens at 10 p.m. at night. Sometimes it's like in the middle of the day at like 11 a.m. It depends. The exact moment of the full moon is going to be when you get this exact opposition between the moon and the sun. But for that, honestly, the energy is still in the air for that full day, the day before, the day after. Don't get too caught up in it. Like, the energy of the full moon is so powerful that it's usually, you can harvest it like 24 hours before or 24 hours after.
Okay. That makes sense, because I was like, am I, like, is it just me that I'm getting very confused about this all? Like, I see a few different people and I'm like, who's right?
What is the truth?
What is the truth here?
Yeah, well, if you're not told, you assume that the full moon happens when it goes dark, right? The full moon is, like, going to be that night, but yeah, the moon is still there. We can't see it.
Yeah, no, thank you for clearing that up. I've always wanted to ask, and I'm like, then I also didn't want to ask because I was like, maybe it's just me. Like, people would be like looking at me like, how do you not get this? But you cleared it up. And now I feel like, I'm so glad I asked about that, because I was always the person that was like, when it hits midnight, like that's the new moon or that's the full moon happening.
No, well, I mean, if you're wondering, there's probably other people who are wondering too, right?
Yes, yeah. So I asked for you guys. Don't worry. I got you.
Yeah, exactly.
I have one more selfish question because I saw this the other day on a friend's Instagram and I was like, what is this? She was talking about moon water and putting a crystal in and putting it under the moon. And I was like, what?
That's so funny because I hear you saying that. I'm drinking from this cup with the rose quartz in it.
Yeah, that's what she used too.
Yeah. So, well, the full moon happened in Libra and rose quartz is a very Libra crystal. So I've been drinking rose quartz water for a couple of days now. But basically, so there's a couple of things. What crystal water is basically when you're putting a crystal in your water. So the crystals have energy, right? So that energy is like soaking in your water. So when you're drinking your water, you can envision all the energy of your crystal like going into you, right? Awesome. That's a very magical practice that I love to do. But also on the full moons, that might be it. On the full moons, you can charge your crystals. So that's really interesting. So on your full moons, you can put your crystals out like by a window or directly outside and just let them soak in the energy of the full moon and that charges them. And so maybe what you saw is someone who like charged it. So it was like just charged with the full moon energy and then you put it in the water. So then you're drinking this water that is charged with the full moon energy and the crystal. So that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you have to like clean your crystal? Because I handle my crystals a lot and then I was like, do I put in water right away or like bacteria? Like I'm not sure.
Yeah, I honestly it's so funny because I was on a live and I just took a crystal and like dunked it into my water in front of everyone, but usually I clean them. Yeah, just like wipe them or like pass them under like warm water just to make sure, right? Because it's going to soak in your water. You don't want to drink something that's dirty.
So, yeah, that's what I was like, oh my God, how does this work?
No, just make sure it's clean before.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. I want to switch gears now and talk about your women's empowerment coaching and how that works for you. You know, do you intertwine, well, you said you intertwine the astrology into it, but like if someone was like, wow, this sounds really amazing. Like, what are the steps that you kind of do if someone wanted to work with you?
So basically what I do is one-on-one coaching. I love to work one-on-one with someone because we really want to work on the mindset, the manifestation, and the magic. The magic is basically your magic, right? The astrology, that part of my work is kind of the magic part that I like to call it. So I like to meet up with my clients once a week to really see where they're at and shift into a more positive perspective, make them see the magic of who they are, love and accept themselves so that they can grow, right? Nothing grows in the dark. Plants only grow in the sun, in the light. So once you fully accept and love yourself for who you are, is then you can actually grow and move from it. And because resentment is only going to keep you stuck, right? So first of all, we really clear the way for some good old self-love, for some good old self-acceptance. And it's kind of like my whole thing is giving people permission to be who they are, giving themselves permission to love and feel good and have joy. And good things happen when you feel good. And a lot of people are scared of that. And believe me, I've worked with people over and over again who told me that they couldn't feel good because they were worried something bad would happen. And by the end of the 8 weeks with me, usually people are like, I can't believe the things I said in the first week. Like I'm a totally different person because the more you feel good, the more you realize that life is easier than you think. Life is not that serious or not that complicated. And you can thrive in a way that's way more simple than you think you do. And so the first thing that I do is obviously look at the chart. We talk about who you are, why you are the way you are. And then what I always love to do also is a moon guide. So personally, every day when I do my ritual, I have an app and I look at where the moon is, right? So the moon is going to change every couple of days. The sun stays in the same sign for approximately 28 days, but the moon shifts signs every 2 days. So I like to just make sure that I know where the moon is so I know how that influences me. So I know how the moon influences me because I'm an astrologer, but I like to give my clients like, okay, when the moon's going to be in Scorpio, that is going to feel like that for you. When the moon is in Sagittarius, you might feel like that. It's a good day to do this and that and see friends or do this or take care of yourself. So I like to do that with my clients because once you align with the whole freaking cosmos, things start to happen magically. When you align with the stars and the sky and the planets, it is crazy how much your life can change just by doing that, just by being conscious of the effect that the universe has on you as a human being. And so I love to do that. And it's like, I'm just, the thing with one-on-one coaching is that it's really personalized to the person. I know my gifts. I know what is true for me, and my whole thing is aligning my life with my beliefs, right? When we start going into this wellness, self-love, spiritual journey, we start believing in all of these things. Now, it's one thing to have that written on a page in your notebook. It's another thing to actually live out your life in the way that you believe the world works, right? It's kind of a step that feels very, very scary for a lot of people. Yes, you believe in manifestation, or you believe in the universe, or you believe the universe has your back. Now, are you living in a way that is actually aligned with the fact that you believe the universe has your back?
Yes.
So that's my whole thing.
I love it so, so very much. And it's, you know, there's that saying, you know, fake it till you make it. And I'm like, I struggle with that one because yes, I feel like if in the sense of like, you keep telling yourself, as long as you truly believe it, like you will make it. But there's also that like telling yourself it and not believing it, and it's just never going to happen for you. Like you can say those things all you want, but if you truly believe, like you can say like, I want to make $10,000. But if you truly believe like that's never going to happen for you, it's not in the cards, it won't happen.
Exactly. So your beliefs actually create your reality. Your beliefs are so important because your beliefs are actually going to dictate how you show up in this world, what you say, how you take action, how you talk to yourself, right? Everything stems from what you believe to be true about yourself and about the world. And so that's a big part of what I do, is rewrite beliefs. Or, okay, what do you believe to be true? And I always do that with my clients. I have a full page of like, okay, what do you believe to be true? I'm not telling you how to live your life. You tell me how you want to live your life, and I'll keep you accountable for it. I'll gladly give you my advice and my wisdom and all the things that I've learned, but you tell me what feels good for you. You tell me what is true for you, and we're going to make sure that you act according to that. And if you want, let's say like the $10,000 thing, if you want to make a $10,000 month, but you feel like that's impossible, okay, beautiful. Let's go into your beliefs. Why isn't that possible? Because this and that. Okay, is that true? No. Okay, then stop thinking it. We're going to change that. And if you believe that it's not true because you don't work hard enough to make $10,000, okay, well, let's look at, are all the millionaires in the world working really, really hard and working 24/7, 365 days a week? Probably not, right? A lot of rich people actually work smarter and work a lot less. So let's rewrite that belief. And whenever you want to tell yourself, I don't work hard enough for that, just switch it with this new belief we talked about with, that's not true. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes. As you're talking, I'm like, I feel like we could do a whole other podcast episode on like mindsets and like how to rewire and reshift them. I want this to resonate with people because it's like, it's a never, I don't want to say never ending, but it's a process, right? Like you're not going to be like, I'm going to say it once and it's like going to like, maybe it resonates with you and you truly embody it and believe it right in the moment, but like you work on it and sometimes you get through that and then something else pops up and you're like, crap, like I thought I was over that.
Yeah, the idea of arriving to a finish line is what keeps us stuck a lot of the time. Life is a cycle. You're never going to get to the end. You're never going to be a done, finished project, right? I used to think like, okay, now I really know myself. Now I'm the person I'm going to be for the rest of my life, right? How freaking silly is that?
Yeah.
I'm always going to change. It's always going to be right? It's evolution. We're human. We're all about this evolution thing. So we got to transform. We got to evolve. We got to elevate. And that never ends. And that as soon as we embrace that and see the beauty of that, the easier things are going to be.
Yes, yes. All of that. I love it so much. Is there anything else you want to leave our audience with, whether it's an empowerment coaching tip or an astrology tip, or maybe like this moon that's coming up, or a specific moon, like, you know, watch out for this and make sure you're prepared this way for it?
Well, I would love if everyone who's listening would do a new moon ritual with the new moon that is coming in Taurus on April 22nd, I believe. Yeah, April 22nd at 10:45 a.m. EST. So if you've listened to this, you're ready, you can do it, you can do a new moon ritual. And the advice I want to leave you with, it's a coaching and an astrology advice, is stop listening to everyone else. Quiet the noise. Take off those headphones for a second. Stop listening to the podcasts, the books, the teachers, the lives, the stories for like even one day, and tune into yourself. What do you want to do? What is right for you? What works for you? Tune into yourself. I'm telling you, it's the biggest gift you can give yourself. You already have all the answers inside of you. They're just waiting for you to like listen to them.
Yeah, it's at this point, like, I wish I had a mic and I could drop it and everybody would hear that. That was so good. And I'm so with you. I think there's never stop learning. That's not what we're saying. Never stop learning, but also recognize that it's time to implement and it's time to like just to know yourself. And just there's nothing wrong with being quiet and just being intuitive. And, you know, if it feels good to you, and we've talked about it too, like my question to you about does the new moon rise all the time at midnight? Like, if you're feeling a certain way, chances are that there's somebody else feeling a certain way too. And you could be the person to inspire them or help them or just click with somebody that way, right? Like there's so much goodness in that. Before I send everybody your way and to check you out and follow you on Instagram and all that good stuff, because that's what I do when the new moon and the full moons happen, I have something what is called, okay, little context to this. I used to call it a speed round, but then I took everybody off on tangents, so it didn't become a speed round anymore. It's now the bonus round.
Okay, cool.
All right. So I have just a few questions here, and then just whatever kind of pops up for you, we can dissect it, or, you know, if it sounds good, we'll move on to the next question.
Cool. Beautiful.
What is a podcast, book, or resource that has brought you value and you would recommend to our audience?
Spirit Attractor, that's not it. Super Attractor is a book from Gabrielle Bernstein. It is amazing. Super Attractor or The Universe Has Your Back, whichever calls your name first. It's an audiobook that repeats in my phone all the time. When I do the dishes, whatever I do, I'm probably listening to a Gabrielle Bernstein book.
Oh, she's so amazing, isn't she? Like, Gabby, if you're listening to this, you can come on my podcast.
We hope Gabby is listening to this. That's a dream.
Yeah. Who is your favorite influencer or person to look up to for inspiration?
What is coming up for me right now is Yala Darling. I love her confidence in herself. I love her badassness, her I'm unapologetically myself. This is who I am. This is what I love. Deal with it. I'm feeling good. Her whole thing is feeling good is your job. So that I totally relate to that.
And it's so funny you said her name. Her name has literally come up like 5 times for me. And it was just like, I saw a post mention her. I saw someone in a Facebook group commented on her. And I'm like, okay, obviously. And now you're saying her name. I'm like, obviously, this is a sign for me to like go check her out and go like stalk her.
She's been following you. There's something for you there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go stalk her afterwards. What are you grateful for today?
I am grateful for my bulletproof coffee this morning, my delicious bagel, my loving, funny, smart, kind boyfriend that is in the other room right now that I spend every day with, and I could, like, I never get bored of him. So yeah, that's pretty much what I'm grateful for. I'm not grateful for the snow outside.
Yeah, but actually, yeah. I meant to ask before, where are you tuning in from today?
Oh, I'm very near Montreal in Quebec, Canada.
Oh, so you guys got snow.
We're pretty much the only people in the world right now getting snow. It's just like this. In Quebec, it's like snow for 8 months in a year.
Oh, you know, it's honestly, I say, like, I'm just outside of Toronto. So, like, we tend to get the same weather. You guys are a little bit more north, so you get more slammed by snow, I feel. We had snow this morning, but it just melted away.
Oh, really? Still going.
It's the worst. I'm, like, not a winter person. Hence why I need to be by an ocean. A warm ocean, too. Because people are like, there's oceans in Canada. I'm like, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same.
I'm so curious about this one. What is your spirit animal?
My spirit animal is a rabbit.
Oh.
And yes. And my sign from the universe is a snake, but I keep getting told, like, in meditations or when I've done Reiki, I've seen a lot of rabbits, and my spirit guides keep telling me, like, be the rabbit. And so I've looked it up. The rabbit is slow. The rabbit shows love and affection to the people they love. And that is so me. Like, I give so much love. So yeah, apparently that's me, the rabbit.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I feel like that's accurate. I feel like that's true. Really? Yeah, no, it's funny when people say some of them, there's been a few where I'm like, oh man, I don't know if that is your spirit animal. Just like intuitively, I'm like,
yeah,
like that's not quite clicking. But the rabbit, I feel like, yeah, when you said that, I was like, yeah, she's definitely a rabbit.
Oh, coming from a Pisces, I trust your intuition.
Well, and for me, I'm like, I'm a dolphin, and that has never strayed, and it's always been a dolphin, and I'm like, it's because I'm a water baby.
Oh, yeah, I can totally see that.
Oh, I love dolphins. Okay, my final question for you is, what is your favorite form of self-care to practice?
Meditation. Meditation makes me feel like, I can't even describe it. It makes me feel connected to myself, connected to my purpose, connected to a higher power. It makes me more centered, more calm. It makes me focus on what's actually important. It makes me have power over my thoughts, power over my words, power over my decisions. It just makes me feel very powerful and very aligned.
Oh, I love it. Like, I have been on this crusade to get more people to do meditation, because it's, and for me, like, I was so against meditation. Not so against it, I was just like, I don't see the point in doing it. And when I started doing it, because we had to in my 300 hour yoga teacher training, and I was like so resistant to it, and I did it, and I was like, I always say, like, it's the only thing that's ever gotten me to shut up than self negative talk in my brain. Like, it's, yoga makes me feel physically really good in my body, but meditation shuts my brain up, and it has been life-changing. Do you do, like, a guided meditation, or do you do your own, like, manifestation meditations or breathing meditation?
I kind of listen to whatever feels good. My only ritual in the morning is to sit down on my altar and have a ritual.
Okay.
So often that's going to, obviously that always includes meditation. Sometimes that includes, like, journaling, pulling cards, all those things. But my meditation that day, I'm either going to do a guided chakra meditation, depending on the chakra that I need to work on that day. Sometimes I just put music. Sometimes I visualize. It depends. I listen to myself, because routine doesn't work for me, so I have to switch it up. Otherwise, I'm not gonna stick to the same thing every day. That's just not who I am.
Yeah, that's so good. I do the same thing too. Like, I listen to, like, what my body needs, yes, or my mind needs. But perfect thing. And I want that to resonate with people too, because I feel like people think there's, like, a one-stop shop for meditation. Like, it's this way or the highway, and it's like, it's not like, start with one style and see if that resonates with you, and then progress. But there's so many different ways to do it. So
yeah. And with Spotify and YouTube, you can literally, like, look up anything, just guided meditation, chakra meditation. Like, you, there's so many things at your fingertips that are free, that you have no excuses.
Yes. Yes. Let the people in the back hear that. Kamelli, this has been such a fun conversation. It's, if people want to stalk you online or get some coaching done from you, where can everybody go and find you?
So I'm pretty much an Instagram gal. So you can follow me on Instagram. My handle is @IamKemili, IamKemili. That is my name. So you can follow me on Instagram and then just slide into my DMs if you have any questions. I'm always on there. I'm posting all about mindset, astrology, obviously, and all the beautiful, magical things that we can all enjoy. So yeah, you can follow me on there and talk to me there. I would love to hear from you.
Yes. Thank you so very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you give it a 5-star rating and review. It takes 2 moments of your time and truly does make a difference in growing this community and showing support for the show. Make sure to stop by and say hi on social media, take a screenshot of this episode, tag our guest, tag me, and hashtag the show, #BYLpodcast. Share it out on your Instagram stories so that we can share it out on ours. And I will make sure to slide into your DMs to say hello. Until next Monday, everyone, I can't wait to see you then. Namaste.